darn it, get in the zone with this basketball team, but I just don't, why does he refuse to come out of the zone?
Keith, you want to tackle that? Why is he,
I don't think he thinks we can remotely guard the post if they come out of the zone. I think that's, I mean, Gavin Ware's a, man, average at best SEC post player, and twice they threw it down into him close to get big baskets tonight, so.
Yep.
What do you think about maybe when they're shooting it that good, maybe going to a box and one, or tonight even a triangle and two, because Thomas and Sword just shut the lights out?
I think you got to try something, but I think Donnie is one of these guys who, here's how I've always done it, and I'm going to live or die with this until he gets some better play. I think if he had a better roster, he probably would have switched out of it. I think if he had a better and a deeper roster, not one thing he would have done is he'd have ratcheted up the pressure full court on them a bunch more, because now they weren't. Every time we kind of ratcheted up and extended the defense, they kind of came undone. But when you're only really playing seven guys, you can't do that for 40 minutes. You got to try to pick and choose your battles.
Yeah, I understand that. But another thing, I thought the fans were great tonight. I mean, it was very. It wasn't a big crowd, maybe 10,000, but, I mean, for how many people were there, I thought they were into it, and it was loud.
Yeah. I didn't think that was a problem. There were plenty of problems tonight. I did not think that was one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, let's think about it. 10,000 people, right? 10,000 people in most arenas in this conference is a tremendous crowd. It's a near sellout in many of the buildings in the league.
It's a sellout in multiple places.
Yeah, and it's a sellout at Florida tonight, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm going to end on a positive note. Okay. What do you think about our chances of getting Drew Richmond tomorrow?
I think based on the conversations I've had with people tonight, especially in light of, and we're going to report about this tomorrow ad nauseum at TonyBasilio.com, Butch Jones has really gotten under the skin of your Hugh Freeze to the point where Hugh Freeze, I believe, has turned Tennessee in and is complaining to the league office about the recruitment of that guy after everything that they've done. I mean, that is...
Hugh Freeze.
You don't love that? Is that not great?
Oh, good Lord. That'd be like Scott Drew calling the NCAA on Travis Ford.
Wow.
Well, that's the deal. Jake,
I'm
going to
get off here.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you.
Well, now, if Richmond's not coming to Tennessee, he's the biggest attention whore in the history of the world. Because why on earth otherwise do you announce you're decommitting from Ole Miss?
Right. Although... When Memphis is involved, one thing I've learned, you count it when the facts clears. And somebody made a great point the other day on the air. Why is the NCAA still dealing in faxes?
I love it.
Back to our phones we got.
Hey, imagine how much more suspense it would be if they still used like the mail, Tony.
That is really true. Hey, I understand so-and-so dropped it in the box today, and it was, and you would be, you, what would we be doing? We'd be interviewing the postal people.
Yeah, and you think about it. Think about it. You'd have all kinds of people committing felonies of interfering with the mail and stuff. It'd be fantastic.
That's a great point. Maybe we ought to work on getting that in as part of a repartee. Let's go back to the phones.
Because God knows, Tony, recruiting doesn't get enough hype as it is, so that then he could drag it out a week or two waiting on mail to get there and players saying they sent stuff that never arrived. It'd be beautiful.
Titans Bill just tweeted me a second ago, his first ever tweet. It said, hey, at Tony Basilio, my good Christian friend, I'll tell you what. If the Vols could have made a few more shots tonight, that game would have been different. Let's go back to our phones. Let's grab our next call. Who's up with us here tonight on your Smart Way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Good evening, Tony.
Yes, good evening.
This is Vandy Joe.
Hey, Vandy Joe.
How you doing? I think you guys have run out of gas. I really do. I think the press and everything else that's gone into it they just don't have enough legs left in them. And no matter how much conditioning you do, you've got the freshman wall that they hit. For the guys that are the first year guys, and I mean, it's just Kendall's done a great job. I mean, you got to give it to him. He's worked the Ouija board about as well as anybody you could ever hope for. But I think they've just hit the wall, and their legs are gone. They've played a lot of minutes, and I'm really surprised Josh Richardson's held up as well as he has, given the extended minutes he's playing.
Totally agree with that.
I mean, watch it. He's superhuman. I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, for a kid to do what he does, night in, night out, and score like he did tonight, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, you got to give it to him. I mean, he could have walked off and left it at the end of last year and came back and look at what he's going to earn a nice paycheck out of this when he goes to the next level.
His level of ferocity playing that game right now is Ron Slay level. And I love me some Ron Slay at the collegiate level.
Well, think about this, Tony. If he hadn't elevated his game the way he has, if he was just still the good, solid Division I basketball player he was for the regular season last year, this team's as bad as Houston's last day.
Oh, yeah.
This team's winning seven or eight games, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I mean, they may not even win that many games. But, I mean, he's really, I don't know what, the light really went on last postseason for him. And he's kept it going. You wondered if he would, but he's kept it going throughout the season. And, I mean, you got to give it to him. I mean, that's just all you can say. Tindall's just brought out that much more in him and kept it going. And, I mean, whatever happens with Tindall, he's done a hell of a job, and that's just all you can really say. I mean, he really – yeah.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are Vanderbilt fans about over Stallings?
No, I really don't think they are just quite yet.
Okay, I just wondered.
They're getting close. I will say that there's a decent faction of them that have been over him for a while, but in given what's going on right now, they see some hope in what's happening, and they've got a good recruiting class coming in next year.
And I like the freshman they got now.
Well, they've got five pretty good kids, and they've got this kid Kressler that's sitting out this year that can't play, that supposedly he may be better than any of these five freshmen that they've got that'll be eligible next year. And then of course they got three backcourt guys coming in next year that are supposed to be pretty good. So I'd say next year's going to be the year. If they don't show market improvement and get into the tournament and win at least a game, I'd say they're going to be looking for some hide. And, I'd say he'll be gone. He's got one foot in the door jam, as they say, but I don't know that if he's kicked it open yet or he's trying to pull it shut.
Hey Joe, can I ask about the door jam? Joe, I'm just on the way out here. And by the way, if you haven't gotten that book about Perry Wallace that the author I interviewed, Marinus.
Oh man, it's phenomenal.
That's one of the greatest sports books I've ever read. It's a period piece written about Perry Wallace. It's a great study of the 60s and what was going on college campuses all around America. It's a great study on the civil rights movement. It's a great study on the character that kid had. And just so many backstories, and there's some great basketball in it.
I'm going to tell you what, Roy Skinner took one of the biggest chances of any coach that you've ever seen in America, bringing him onto Vanderbilt's campus. At that time, I was a young kid. I was about 9 years old when they brought him on campus, and I watched him play when I was a kid. And I'm going to tell you what, I went to a basketball camp and he was there. He was pretty prominent at that point. And I'm going to tell you what, he at that point was the nicest, most humble individual that you could ever hope for to see. Not a bitter bone in his body. Now, I will say this, he has gotten a little jaded in his older years, about some of the things that have gone on, but I'm going to tell you what, he is a class act by every shape, form, and fashion. And, I mean, you're right. It is a phenomenal book. It really is.
I recommend it to anybody with a heart, mind, and ear. And Vinny Joe, on the way out, now that we've gotten very serious, I really, really like your current head coach. He's fired out a tweet tonight. While everybody else can enjoy their stars, he said, Vandy Joe, while everybody else enjoy, we have the star that counts, the one on the side of our helmet. That guy is a punk and a clown.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, why they hired him is beyond me. I hope and pray to the good Lord, like I told you you and Beano back at Thanksgiving, I'm stunned that he's still there. I hope and pray that he's gone at the end of this season and we can find somebody that knows how to coach football.
Bandy Joe, thank you. It's the star on the side of the helmet that counts and you're out of here. 865-200-5402. Live today on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. I'm sitting here tonight and just, I don't know what I am. I so appreciate the job this team has had to even get me to the point where I'm disappointed about tonight. I guess, Keith, what makes me mad is I just started counting wins, and I just started considering that when we won those three games on the road, you just never dream in a million years you would drop three at home to the likes of Texas A&M, Mississippi.
A&M's going to the NCAA tournament.
Well, I understand that. I'm just talking about sight unseen. Alabama. Right. You just don't think that's going to happen. You don't think you're losing to A&M.
You think you'd lose out. Certainly, if you told me you were going to win all three of those road games, I wouldn't have thought you'd lose all three of those home games.
Well, no. You could have knocked. And the truth is, if it's not for some good play down the stretch against Auburn Saturday, you'd be on a four-game losing streak right now. Yeah. Well, let's go back to our phones.
But watching this Vanderbilt-Florida game, Tony,
yeah,
gets me to thinking that Tennessee's got chances to win more than those three I'm talking about because these two teams aren't any good.
Oh, I was talking to your and my friend Maury tonight, and he said, hey, are we off the record? And I said, yeah, we're off the record. Of course, I'm quoting him now. He said, boy, Florida is just not good. They are just, he's seen them several times in person. He said, man, they are extremely beatable for Tennessee.
Well, Jeff Goodman nailed that, something he wrote a couple weeks ago. They've got two McDonald's All-Americans in Casey Hill and Chris Walker that are at best right now mediocre college basketball players. And when that happens, man, it just doesn't work for you. Because you recruit those guys, they're the centerpiece of your class.
Mm-hmm.
And they prevent you from getting other guys at that position that are elite players because they're like, well, I'm not going to sit behind that guy or compete with him where I can go somewhere and be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up that two guys you counted on being NBA caliber players are now just average guys, and that's how you end up being what Florida is right now.
You were the centerpiece of my class last year, Keith.
Man, you should have recruited harder.
Back to the phones we go. 25 past the hour. Hello and welcome.
Coming to speak, Dave Nathan.
Hey, FDN. How's tonight grabbing you, buddy?
Man, I'm not really shocked. Kind of anticipated. I don't necessarily think that I would have anticipated a loss, but I did think that Mississippi State was playing probably the second or third best currently in the SEC, which I know is not saying that much, but I expect them to come in and have a dogfight. I would never think. I mean, it does seem like when Tennessee does lose, that most everybody's off. You know, you got one player like, I know Richardson stepped up tonight. I think Balkman stepped up in losses before. It's just I mean, everything that could have went wrong tonight did go wrong. I don't think it's any reason to throw in the towel. They're gonna win games the rest of the season that they shouldn't win, and they're probably gonna lose games that they shouldn't lose. It's just the mantra of this team. It's the way he coaches, and I think that we've established that Kendall's not gonna lay two eggs in a row. I think when we lost the Bama game, everybody thought that it was done. We were done then. And then we rebound, I think, on the road with South Carolina. Put this team on the road for the rest of the damn year, and let's go win some ball games, because that's just what they do. I think we're going to win on Saturday at Georgia. And then, I know we got LSU and Kentucky after that. Tough games. I think that any game that we play at home, we got a shot to lose. I think any game we play on the road, we're going to be right in the middle of it. I think that there's a lot to these guys playing in front of their friends, in front of 10,000-15,000 people at home, and they just seem tight. They don't seem like they don't play remotely close to the same type ball at home that they play on the road.
Plus, the matchups are better on the road than they've been at home. That's the other thing. Tonight's another one of those tweener type matchup deals where Keith talks about, hey, Mississippi State bombed in some threes tonight, which is why they won. But then there were also times where we needed key stops, and they were able to get to the 10. And we haven't seen people do that to us this year. But that happened tonight. It really did. We're trying to close out on leads.
Gavin Ware got killed us.
Killed. Killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is still too much fun.
Sure it is.
Everybody, I was watching Twitter during the game, and your old buddy Roberto seemed like he was on suicide watch the whole game, saying how lack of effort, and I never thought effort was an issue.
No.
I mean, like I said, we were getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound. Now, but we just couldn't put the ball in the basket. And when it comes right down to it, you've got to do that to compete against teams that are putting the ball in the basket. And so, it sucks to lose to Rick Ray any time that you lose. You never want to do that. And that's definitely no resume builder. But I don't think it's a resume killer either. Because I do think that Mississippi State team is going to finish in the upper half of the league play.
How about that? That's not a bad way of looking at it. They've won four of the last five.
If that happens, the NCAA should say that Kentucky is the only team out of this league that makes the NCAA tournament.
Keith.
They should pull the plug on the rest of the league.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think that, Tennessee, I don't know how we've got to the point where we're disappointed. I mean, this has been a great ride, and it's not even close to being done. And I know these guys are gonna do some more special things the rest of this year. That's gonna make you're gonna forget about this. I mean, I was down after Alabama, and then you're rebounding. I think we won three out of the next four, and played good ball, and we're winning the games on the road. You're just gonna have nights like this with a young team, and a team that's just got, like Dino said, just got thrown together in a month. It's no reason to hang your head. And Donnie's not, like you said, Donnie's not perfect, and I don't think this for sure was not his best game on the sideline. But when everybody's missing, and the only person you got that can scored for the most part half your points, it's tough to win. It's a tough to win. So don't get down on Donnie Wendell. He'll get him back ready for Saturday. And
Donnie Wendell, I like that.
Don't bail on this listener watch party, Tone.
Fake the end. I'll announce the day after signing day. I'll announce where we're going to be Thursday. Thanks, man. Good talking to you. Yeah. We're going to have a listener watch party Saturday if you're in the Knoxville area. I'll let you know when and where. Just check TonyBasilio.com. Check out the blog. TC in Atlanta is online for the tweet of the night because it doesn't involve this game, and he's hazing. He says that he's found out that Mike DeBoard is on the record as saying that he's really, really excited about that new technology. What's it called? A fax? He said the fax is tremendous technology, and they're looking forward to utilizing it during his tenure here. Let's go back to the phones. The,
I like the DeBoer's getting killed and Stripling's older than he is.
Yeah, it's so great. The ageism that's taking place with DeBoer. I mean, the black and white photos, the stuff of him from the 1920s is just... My wife told me tonight, she goes, you know, all your years of doing this, I don't ever remember a guy getting hazed like this. And I said, well, they're kind of trying to slide this guy in, a sleight of hand thing, and our fans are just... They're just pushing back, but they're really having fun with it. Because when he gets hired, he's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But for now, we're still in the campaign season. Till it gets announced, people still want their guy. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. I've got time maybe for a couple more phone calls because I'm tired. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Jaker, what's up?
I just want to give a couple of questions, and I won't hang up, and I won't listen to your comments. But the first one is, would you rather have graduate assistant as your quarterback's coach or George Quarles? And the second one is, would you rather have Mike DeBoer as your offensive coordinator or George Quarles? And then we'll move on to the basketball game.
I don't want to talk football. We'll wait to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't either. Hey, well, I think we all know the answers, don't we, Keith?
Yeah, guys. Even though if it gets us back to where we can run the ball a little bit between the tackles and actually line up and blast people, I'll be for DeBoer.
Yeah, I'll be full DeBoer. In fact, I'll water DeBoer if he plays with a fullback. Jake, I'll water. You can come to the remote and you can water DeBoer me.
Hey, I think he'll burn his fingerprints off before he gets there. That's why you can't put them on the program.
I cannot believe you. Know, you continue.
Did I hear Jeke Jr. on it? You know what? I turned it on and I heard you say something about Jeke Jr. He's called in twice now, and I've not been able to hear either one of his calls. But hey, guys, we were at that game tonight, and he told me that somebody was blasting the crowd.
The crowd was small tonight,
and the people that were there were absolutely fantastic, Tony. I mean, they were cheering their ass off, and we were right down there with them. Philly was kind enough to give us his tickets and his parking pass, and you know how greedy we are. We went across over to the other side right before halftime, and we were about six rows up across from the Mississippi State bench. And I'm telling you what, man, the crowd was fantastic. So anybody's blasting the crowd needs to line up in the Mickey Deerstone line.
Go the Mickey Deerstone line.
You mean the line where Richard Sherman was faking being hurt?
Huh? Did he say that? Did Mickey say that?
Oh yeah.
Hatfield, you really have a what's the word?
I think an aversion to people who are strangers to the truth and seem to have a real problem with black athletes that speak their mind. Yeah, I got a problem with that.
And now Richard Sherman's going to get Tommy John surgery. But, guys, I'll tell you what, I don't see how anybody can blast Donnie Tindall. Here's what I see. Our defense of the three-point line is awful. I like the matchup zone, but we've got to get out there and defend the three-point line. Other than that, I've got no problem with what I see is going on. What do you guys think?
And like I said, Jeke, earlier, I mean, the thing is, if you get out and you start extending on shooters as small as they are inside, I mean, you might never get a rebound. If you guard them well enough to make them miss it, if you're extended out and you've only got one or two guys down in the paint area, I don't know that it matters if they miss it if you're not going to rebound it. The limitations on this team, I mean, what Tindall's gotten out of them, I agree with you. I can't imagine anybody having any complaints about the quality of the coaching this year because this team's got, I mean, it's got massive holes. Your best player is a two-guard/small forward, and he's having to play point guard and handle the ball all the damn time.
Yeah, and you've got to rob Peter to pay Paul, and we out-rebound them 33-26. And let me tell you what I saw, Keith, tonight. I kind of saw the same thing I saw against Texas A&M. I saw that they've got more talent than we've got.
Oh, that, yeah, I don't know that they've got more talent, but.
Boy, it sure like, hey, Keith, it sure looked like it tonight.
Yes, it did tonight. Yes, it did tonight.
I'd like to have one of their big bodies. I don't think those guys are anything fantastic as players, but, I mean, at least they're physically, they can physically compete.
You think Deerstone liked them, Keith?
Oh, no, that one kid had dreadlocks and tattoos.
Hey, guys, what's that white guy's name that was refereeing tonight?
Doug Shouse or the other one?
The big guy.
Doug Shouse.
He's the best.
This guy's awful.
He is the best. He, you know what he ought to do next time he comes to Thompson Bowling? Wear a blindfold.
I'll put it this way. You know who's not happy tonight? Dave Hart. You know why? He cut a check tonight. He cut a huge check tonight. You know the two, you know who probably the two highest paid officials in college basketball are? Ed Valentine and Doug Shouse, folks.
Wow. You mean they don't all get the same?
Oh, no.
Huh? Oh. Those guys
demand,
don't.
Oh, I guarantee they may say they're paying everybody the same. If you think Doug Shouse and Ted Valentine are getting paid the same as Roger Ayers and those guys, no. Why do you think those guys get all the good games?
I got to check into that now.
Watching those guys, yeah. I mean,
I
got to
check into that now.
Same.
I gotta check into that.
Those guys, there's a reason those guys, because they're all the favorites of the various conference guys, conference officiating guys and stuff. Shouse and Valentine are part of the protected class. There's about seven or eight of them.
Get another call in here. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime at TonyBasilio.com. Exclusive of your app, of your live stream. It's a community here where we meet after each and every game, when news breaks out, we break in, let's get our next call in here. Hello.
Tone, I can feel your fatigue.
I'm exhausted. Thank you.
I can't wait to see you tomorrow at Smoky Mountain Brewery, my man. What I keep hearing about all these, and we were cutting it up, I guess, there on text, the four of us, but I think everyone's overreacting a bit. It's not a great loss, but it's just a loss. It looked like, I think the guys took it a little for granted at the start. And I think a lot of guys started pressing and, they just weren't hitting shots. And, Mississippi State is, I know it's the same team, but they don't play like the same team. They're really starting to catch their, getting their groove. And I can't speak for Rick Ray. He hadn't done much, but, their players were playing well, and frankly, they deserve to win tonight. But the season's not over. The running out of gas. I don't believe it. I think it was a loss for a roller coaster team.
Well, that's kind of been the trend. I mean, I think a lot of us thought this team was in dire trouble after. They came out and scored about 2 points in 45 minutes of play against Alabama, it seemed like. But I think until they go into a real tailspin, I don't think you can say they're going to go into a real tailspin. I mean, I think tonight there's plenty to be frustrated.
They've lost three out of four guys, including a loss to Mississippi State. I mean, is that not a – what is that, like a mini correction?
Well, we'll see. We'll find out in the next two.
This team's not any good. I mean, we said that. I mean,
I know about it. Yeah, you know.
You start Tariq Owens today at, what's he, $175 because he played better. The guy shouldn't see the court. I mean, you got Reese in there with valuable minutes. The guy should never see the court. I mean, you got Armani Moore who's turned into a secondary ball handler. Can't dribble. He's got the loosest handle I've ever seen. I mean, Donnie is working miracles with this bunch, and I'm not cracking on them. I think they're doing well. I mean, we've won some games because of this same defense, just because people aren't hitting threes. And Keith's exactly right. I mean, are you going to extend your zone out and then have a guy, you know, against Owens or Fallon Minute Carmichael? you'll get eaten alive. So it's just, it's one of those things. They hit their threes, they hit them at a high clip tonight, and we just came up a little short. I mean, even as poorly as we played tonight, you have a dunk by Reese, and I'm not sure how that comes out except it's a Reese dunk, and it's tied up, you know, with a minute to go at your home. So it's just, I think it's just one of those things. I'm certainly not ready to throw it in. I never had any expectations these guys would go to the NCAA tournament. I think they may, who knows, but I think they teased us a little bit. I thought from the beginning, you get an NIT bid out of this bunch, you're doing well.
Thing you caught tonight is, it was never that absurd for them to be picked to finish 13th in the SEC.
Well, not at all. You've got, look here, you got, take a look at this. You got three guys that you were somewhat counting on aren't even basically with the team anymore, with Childs and the other guys. You got Mostella's missing in action. You've essentially got eight guys that can even get on the court and represent. And frankly, not many of those eight are SEC players. Again, no crack intended. I'm not trying to disparage any of those guys, but they are what they are. And I'll tell you what, every game I watch, I'm sitting here watching Armani Moore, and he's freaking driving me crazy. And I'm just cussing him, thinking this guy's the worst player. And then I look up, the guy's got a double-double. I don't know how he's doing it.
Well, no,
it's amazing how he's, I mean, he's bleeding every ounce of juice out of these guys that he can. There's just not much to work with.
Oh yeah, I don't think anybody's going to confuse this roster for a top. I mean, the SEC is probably your worst power conference by a pretty good stretch. But even at that, this roster is still really, really thin.
It's unbelievable that they've given us so many fun moments, haven't they? This has been so fun doing this after games. For as bad as that roster is, and we're just the midway point of the season. And I think JB, some other callers, you're right, Sean. There's three or four or five, hopefully, good moments to come yet this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be, it's like football when we got guys go out to Oklahoma and Oregon and get ticked off when we lose and come back all, you know, bent out of shape. There'll be just as many people thinking we're going to play Kentucky with a chance to win.
Well,
get your expectations in order, and then, you know, let's go out and win some games and see what happens.
No, I mean that's the one that I keep seeing people on message boards and stuff talk about. Well, if this happens or that happens, Kentucky buses down here, right? I think Tennessee and Kentucky both still bus to Lexington and Knoxville. I think that's correct, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, unless we stop them in Jellicoe, we ain't beating them.
Well, I'm pretty, and I'm not trying to throw out hyperbole here. I'm pretty confident they could play 4-on-5 and still beat us. And I know that sounds absurd and asinine, but the talent discrepancy of the two programs is not even close. You could even make the argument that Josh Richardson might not even start for them. And I think Josh Richardson is probably the most important player in the league for his team.
Well, I mean, look, and put it this way, for the weaknesses we have, I don't think Kentucky's certainly probably the worst matchup for just about anybody in the country that could be. But for the weaknesses we have, I think LSU's almost as bad a matchup for us.
Yeah, so I would encourage everybody, you know, it's a loss, move on. And, I mean, I get negative, I'm prone to, you know, piling on a little bit too, like everybody else. But man, with these guys, it's just everything you get is gravy. And if they go to an NIT, are you kidding me? I mean, meet them at the airport, celebrate it.
I'm showing up for it, absolutely.
Of course, I'm the idiot that showed up for that UAB game that year when Houston was the coach. So, I think I was the one guy who showed up for that game. Actually,
we high fived. I remember high fiving Jan Peterson during the Mike Sweetney Georgetown game.
Well, anyway, guys,
keep your
chins up, Sean. Tone. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, love you, man. Smoky Mountain Brewery. I'll be with Sean for 4 hours. Sean, you better get your talk on. Because I'm about, how do we put this now? You talk about a guy that's out of gas. What's your name? I'm on with Hatfield. Yeah, thanks.
I give you guys credit. You guys deserve great credit for doing that tomorrow. Because talking football recruiting for 4 hours, I wouldn't make it 4 minutes.
That's why they make salt and pepper, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I guess my theory on that is, Tony, I never look at individual players in football recruiting. Just show me the top 25 classes. That's about what the top 25 will look like in some order in 4 years. But getting jacked up about player A or player B in football, guys don't come in and change programs the way they do in basketball, I guess, is what the reason I don't follow it as closely.
There's no doubt about that.
When you get the one guy in basketball, you can change the whole program.
Bang. Yep.
You can change the whole thing.
To our phones we go. Let's get our next call in. This will be, our final call tonight since I'm about done. Hello and welcome.
Hey, buddy.
Tell you what,
we got
one more call on hold. We'll take one more after this one. Go ahead, Raj.
Tony. Hey, Keith. Hey, Keith, man. How you doing, Keith?
Doing fantastic, Roger. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to ask you some questions. First one to... I just want to tell you first, I have fun today, Tony, and have this, and what's that first, and I just wanted to see that we lost tonight, the fourth one was lost tonight, Tony, and Keith, this point, what happened tonight? I thought we played okay. What happened? Tony, you know what happened tonight?
They just shot the lights out tonight and played.
Yeah.
They played their best game of the year. Hey, they're playing really good basketball right now. For those guys to have Tennessee on the road, LSU in their building, and sweep those two games, that's as well as that team can play. And you got to tip your cap. I mean, Rick Ray, who literally has the presence of this foam that's encased the Raymere studio. What does he have the presence of?
A mop.
Yeah. He has the presence of the level of hate that Mickey Deerstone shares for the basketball team, Roger. Roger, can I tell you something?
Yeah, what's that?
This is what, and I'm not trying to joke here, okay? This is what Keith Hatfield will do to Mickey Deerstone if they got into, shall we say, a fight?
Yeah.
And if they got into an argument, here's what would happen. Here, hang on. Sorry, I'm back with you now.
Keith, that's one last about that. If they don't get it, it's not true at all about Mickey, but why don't you like Mickey at all, Mickey Hatfield?
I just don't like a guy who pretty much derives his living off UT and takes every pot shot he can and takes every cheap shot he can at everybody, but his gravy train over there at the Lady Boggs is a little cold.
And I just want to tell you about her. Everybody's saying that Mickey don't support the men. You're wrong. That's not true at all. Okay? That's not true at all. Mickey doesn't support the men.
He supports the Kentucky men, Roger. He supports the Kentucky men.
What is that? I hear it in the background.
Huh? That's pretty good, isn't it, Rog? Rog, we have fun on here, don't we?
Yeah. But Tony, I mean, this, my goodness, why is everybody saying that for? Is that true at all, you know, by Mickey?
Who are we talking about, Rog?
Did Mickey and Jeff pay you to come on here tonight, Roger?
No.
Okay, Rod, I'll take it to your word.
Come on. Tony, anyway, Tony, the game, 10 to, I guess, now, I guess, what, I guess, how do you, I guess, I know the game tonight, after the game tonight, do you think the 10 to, how do you get, I know they play Georgia next, and how do you get us that game, Tony?
Tonight's game, Tindall?
Yeah, I know they play Georgia next.
It's a noon start, Roger. I'm thinking about having a listener watch party. If I have a listener watch party, will you come?
What's that? I'm not sure. I'm not sure you're getting on it.
Do you know what Bino just told me, tearing that paper
what?
On you, Roger?
Why?
He told me to go to bed.
Oh, really?
Bino said go to bed, Tony. That's terrible,
really?
Rog. Roger, are you mad at me for tearing the paper on you?
No, I'm not mad, no.
Because that's what would happen if your guy, Doc Dearstone, met my guy, my five-star, Keith Hatfield, in an alley.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be pretty, Rog.
No, but Tony, if you did have one, Tony, you know what's gonna have it at Tony.
I don't know yet. No, I'm gonna announce it. I'll announce it Thursday. Thanks, man.
Okay. I see y'all, man.
One more call, Hatfield. What do you think of the tearing of the paper?
I put it this way. It sounds better than anything that goes on between 6 and 10 on 990 in the morning.
To the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
How you doing, man?
Oh, my gosh. This is going to get...
Hey, TR!
TR, do you like... how much orange Doc had on in that picture we sent you?
Which Doc? There were two Docs in that picture.
There were what?
There were two Docs in that picture. There's two Docs in that picture. Did you not get my message today, bro?
You're exactly right. There was a Doc, Dearstone.
A real Doc.
Hey, you gonna go to the Lee? A real. TR, your memory, your auditory memory is unbelievable. I bet you your sense of smell is tremendous, too.
Tony, are you circulating pictures of Dearstone, and who's the other doctor?
Docs up there on Keystone Park.
Daily?
Yeah.
There's a picture from Saturday. Somebody shot me of Dearstone at the game Saturday, and he didn't have a speck of orange on his body. And I saw.
He left at halftime. He admitted that on his show this morning. I guess Kentucky must be. What time did Kentucky tip off?
What's more indicting? He did that, or who was listening to hear him say that?
Oh, I listen on a regular basis now to see who he's going to slander on a regular basis. He's sucked me in.
Yeah, I know somebody needs to monitor that bunch, but I'm glad I'm not the one. There's only 12 minutes
of talking hour on that show. Once they get done selling hormone replacement celery and cheap jewelry, I mean, hell. I mean, there's only 12 minutes an hour. It's not much you have to listen to.
I just, like you said, Tony, you know, gotta tip your hat to Mississippi State. I mean, I'm thinking there's, with what's his name refereeing tonight, Valentine, I'm thinking, Donnie's got this, cloud hanging over him. It's like, we can't let Tennessee hang around in the conference race, man. We gotta dispose of them. At every turn, man. That's what I'm getting the drift. It's coming down from freaking Sliv. It's sliding down from Sliv from the top. You know, Tennessee cannot be a player. They cannot be a player in the conference regular season. We gotta I just don't know, man, but I mean, we had opportunities tonight.
It's so frustrating.
Nobody stepped up, man. I mean,
no.
Nobody's stepping up. Hubs, what was it? Did he score tonight?
No.
Hubs.
He disappeared.
I mean, he had a couple good looks, and, you know, nobody. I mean, was like 2 for 10 from 3-point land in the first half. I mean, it's just one of them games, man. I'm not throwing in the towel. This game, it hits you really hard, but, what's to say we cannot reel off? I don't know what past Georgia. I just know Georgia's next, and we have to go down there with an attitude and get this game back. This loss at home, another devastated home loss. We have to take it out on Georgia, man.
I just can't believe, TR, and we started out 3-0, and you're yelling and screaming at me about whether I believed or not. I never dreamed in a million years we'd lose all three of those home games. Never. You could not have convinced me of that. The only home game in that stretch we won was that Auburn game. That is just Mississippi State. That is just unbelievable they beat us in our building tonight. But they played well. I give them credit. And like you say, we didn't make plays when we had them.
I mean, I'm pointing the finger at myself, man. I mean, I don't think you were there tonight. I wasn't there tonight. Hatfield may have been there. I don't know if Cinco was there.
Hatfield's there every time they darken the doors, TR.
They open the gym door, I'm probably there.
Well, I appreciate you, Hatfield. I mean, it was just, you know, when you see black behind the visitor's bench, that's not a good sign. About 4 rows deep, right behind Mississippi Mistakes bench. That's not a good sign, man.
No.
Like, the game Saturday against Auburn, I mean, it was, Super Bowl weekend Saturday, and it was just, I don't know, man. They should get people down there. It's just, I don't know, man. It's bull. It's just a bunch of bull. It's a bigger turnout. They cannot, you know, get it more condensed down there for TV. And that damn Buzz Baker.
Oh, he's the worst.
J-Bay's buddy, Buzz Baker, man.
That fake personality of his, the way he yells and screams, TR, he always brings his voice up at the end when he's going to a commercial break, all that phony energy. He is a Tony Schiavone of basketball.
That 1 3-pointer in the first half, we found a 3-point shooter, and he was going to a promo for the Kentucky game after our game.
Yes,
he didn't even mention the dude got fouled on a 3-pointer. He was so devoted to that promo for Kentucky and Georgia halftime preview. I mean, man. But I tell you what, Hatfield, when Tennessee and Kentucky get together,
here we go. I mean,
you throw it out the window, man. I don't care how depleted we are.
TR, if I start,
we will rise to the occasion.
I feel like tearing the paper.
Shock the world.
I feel like
shock the freaking world. When Kentucky comes to town, I don't care when or what is, you know, going on with Tennessee's basketball. We will show up, man, for that game. And I saw Georgia's next. Georgia is next, and it's a must win. And I appreciate it. And y'all have a great hump day, brah. Hump day and signing day. And hang in there. We'll get number 15 against Georgia Saturday. High noon. High noon in Athens, GA.
TR, you're the man, brother.
I can't believe you compared Schiavone and Baker.
That's a great comparison. That
did you hear Baker coming on to do a spoiler on Mick Foley winning the world title?
Dude, that fake energy tonight, I'm not joking with you. It was all time, his fake energy.
Well, it was he and Barry Booker, wasn't it?
No, it was him and Damian Fishback.
Oh, good Lord, that's even worse.
No, Damian Fishback. Damian Fishback at least has testosterone coursing through his body.
Are you saying that Barry Booker needs to get some of Jacoby?
I'm saying that Barry Booker sounds like he's getting the Bruce Jenner surgery. And Hatfield, you are.
I don't think the SEC network is going to be sending any of their talent to come on our shows anytime.
For those, and I'm really concerned about that. For those,
the fact I can't get Darren Horn on the show just kills me.
Well, the SEC network is wonderful.
Hey, now wait a minute, Maria Taylor and Shannon Spake. That is not directly.
They are wonderful.
The rest of those people, the rest of that bunch, yeah.
Hatfield.
Yes, sir.
I absolutely love you. Tonight was fun. TR was fun tonight.
Did I avoid being too negative sounding?
You were not negative.
I don't want the Steves of the world to be upset.
By the way, Titans Bill tonight concludes with, TR is a few cards shy of a full deck, my good Christian friend. I mean, it is a full moon tonight, too. We didn't even mention that, but it was full moon fever tonight in Thompson Bowling Arena. Where is Tom Petty when you need him? I'm going to send you into the night with some Jerry Jeff Walker. Hatfield, give me a final thought here on the way out.
I think, Tony, you got to kind of treat this like what Rick Pitino calls an NBA night. You just got to wrap it up, treat it like it's just one of a whole bunch of games, and move on to Saturday and try to find a way to get it done down at Georgia.
And anything can happen, as we've seen in this league.
Teams are
winning at a record clip right now in this league on the road.
Well, you can't let the old saying. You can't let one loss. You can't let this game beat you twice. So you got to be ready to go Saturday. So I mean, Georgia's pretty good. Georgia's pretty good. I mean, they're a borderline NCAA tournament team. That's a tough task. But you can't be worrying about letting one get away at Mississippi State, or you get blown out Saturday.
I'm giving you a double shot. Hatfield, I love you. Thanks.
See you, Tom.
Congratulations, Mississippi State, tonight, victorious over our Tennessee Volunteers. We'll be back with you live in the morning. I was going to get up at 6 in the morning. Now I'm a little late for that.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I do want to say, this Jerry Jeff show is really good if you've never heard it. And it'll be followed by, and I'm reading a book about Austin City Limits, Mitterville and Author Thursday. And Arthur. Coming up after this, Jerry Jeff gets plunky with it. And then we're going to do some Keith Hatfield. No? What are we going to do? We're not doing Keith Hatfield. Jerry Jeff gets plunky with it. And then we're going to do... What are we going to do? We're going to do some Keith Whitley from 86. Pretty darn good. A friend of mine had a chance of getting a Jerry Jeff Walker record over the weekend in an eBay auction and got beat. Very, very sad. He kind of chintzed out. Got beat down the stretch over a few dollars. You don't do that when you're bidding on timeless shows, but that's him and not me. I want to say I hope you can get the Smoky Mountain Brewery tomorrow and join us. It's going to be an unbelievable day. I love that Hugh Freeze is complaining to the league office about Butch Jones. My man love for what's happening in Tennessee continues to grow by the day. If Tennessee announces that offensive coordinator hire tomorrow, my love for Butch Jones is going to exponentially grow. It'll be in full bloom by the time I hit the airwaves tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Love you. Have a great night.
Thank you. I meant that, too. We're going to do one we call the Perfect Cowboy Love Song. It has a waitress, has a cafe, and it has an old Navajo rug. Well, it's two eggs up on Whiskey Joe, home fries on the side. Washing down with a roadhouse coffee that burns up your inside. It's Canyon Colorado Diner, it's a waitress I didn't love. Sat in the back beneath an old stuff there, worn out Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you? Well, old Jack the boss, he left at six, and it was Katie bar the door. She'd pull down that Navajo rug, we'd spread it across the floor. Saw a lightning frame to say goodnight, saw the wooing of a turtle dove. Lying next to Katie on that old Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, never became of the Navajo rug in you. When I saw Jack about a year ago, he said the place just burned to the ground. All he'd save was an old bear tooth, and Katie, she left town. Katie got a souvenir too, Jack said, and spit out a big old plug. You should have seen her coming through smoke, she's dragging that Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie, change the red and blue. Sacred mountains, lightning strikes above. It always takes me back in time to my long lost Katy love. Well, everything keeps on moving, everybody's on the go. But you don't find things that last anymore like hand woven Navajo. Aye, 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 Katy, change the red and blue. Aye, 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 Katy, whatever became of the Navajo rug in you? Katie, change the red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug in you? Whatever became of the Navajo rug in you? Let's see what kind of voice you're in here tonight. Here, all right. He was born in Oklahoma.